If you are a member of the NYPD, fucking use the Coriolis effect to snipe me through my window in the fucking kill my shit right fucking now. I want to fucking die. Shit.
Oh, hello. Hello, everybody. Maybe you're wishing you were dead as well. Maybe you want to be just bones in the cold ground, but, you know, so do we. We're here for you.
I want to be one of those skeletons who dances with other skeletons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to be like one of those skeletons that hooks up with Betty Boop.
That's pretty tight.
That's pretty tight.
Yo, how come every DSA couple looks like this?
Well, as you may have gleaned from that telltale laugh, we are joined by fan favorite. It's Stavi, baby. Stav, what's going on, boys?
Thanks for having me.
Stav, I had to get you back because for today's show, I wanted to take some time to answer some advice, like letters. And obviously not letters that we've solicited, but that have been already answered by Slate's How to Do It and Dear Prudy advice columns. We've done this before in the past, but, you know, like there's sort of a new crop of, you know, quarantine-related madness in people's relationships, and they need help. They need help, sure. But they shouldn't get help from the people who write for Slate, who give, you know, terrible advice that just always boil down to, like, maybe you should see a therapist or, like, oh, it's the boyfriend's fault, you know? So we need a qualified...
Which it never is, yeah, just real quick. Yeah. It's never the boyfriend's fault.
So we wanted to have a qualified problem solver,
yes.
And it's Stavi, and, you know, you've branched out a little bit recently into the, you know, sort of agony aunt advice column guy thing.
That's right, Billy. I am an expert because I have over 5 Twitch shows that I've done where I have given people advice mostly about how to try and get pussy in quarantine. So I have a show every Friday at 6 o'clock on Twitch, Stavi Solves Your Problems. And then I put it up on YouTube too. And basically people just leave voicemails and I answer whatever problems they have. I use my expertise as a fat, bald, toothless man with roommates in his 30s. If you needed that perspective in your life, I'm here for you, bitch. So I can't wait. I don't know what the fuck Dear Prudence is. I don't know what the fuck.
I don't know how to do it.
Stav,
it's like an advice column where like 43-year-olds who just had their first newborn write in to someone else who's also exactly like that.
Okay,
like,
I see.
They're like, I believe that my cousin has imposter syndrome from doing the Peace Corps, but he's trying to compensate for this by giving me too much advice on how to get my son, Thelonious Monk, then my white last name, into fucking Montessori preschool. How do I do this? How do I do this without ruining our trip to Denmark?
I understand. I love that. Well, this is good because these people very rarely come into contact with a man such as myself.
Oh, no.
So I would love to take a blue-collar, pussy, like, desiring, pussy-getting perspective to these kinds of sexless questions.
Well, stop. You say that, but the first question, the first letter that I have that we're going to kick things off for is I would not say it's sexless. I mean, I wouldn't say it's sexless. There's definitely sex going on here, but it's a very... let's just read the letter. Let's just dive into this. So this is, Dear How to Do It. I'm a woman in my 50s. Until 3 years ago, I lived my life with a general aversion to illicit drugs and alcohol and a sex life that wasn't exciting, let alone enjoyable. 3 years ago, my ex-husband left me, and I began using illicit drugs recreationally as my life, quote, spiraled out of control, or so my family described it.
I was nuts. I like missed book club.
Yeah.
My charcuterie plates were dog shit. It
was a disaster. I did so much salvia, I forgot how goat cheese tasted.
It would be so funny if this woman was doing K2.
Yeah. I would love it if she was out there doing spice and crocodile, just getting fucked up, eating fucking homeless guys' asses. And I'm sure she really was going crazy. She went from being like the vice president of a fucking small like accounting firm to just absolutely downhill, sucking people off in BP bathrooms. Unfortunately, yeah, probably it was just some lame shit.
But yeah, no, ahead, Will, so it says, yeah, it's just like a spiraled out of control, or so my family described it. See, again, like if he had sought better advice, I'd be like, that's just called becoming cool.
Yeah. Being cool.
Yeah, being
that's
cool.
Getting fucked. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Getting stuffed for the first time in your life.
So she goes, yeah, although others were very judgmental of my behavior during that period, I personally found it incredibly liberating. I was able to safely discover things about myself that were important to me, and I really valued having the sense of freedom that came with it, particularly when it came to sexual expressiveness. During that time, I discovered aspects of my sexuality and fantasies I hadn't previously recognized. A few months ago, I started a more stable relationship with a man, Boris, who was understanding of my past and supportive. Respecting that Boris seemed disinclined towards my safe drug and alcohol use, I stopped that behavior. However, secretly, I've continued to long for my past alcohol and drug use because of the sexual liberation it gave me. And secretly, I've started indulging in one of my fantasies. I keep Boris's ejaculate in my mouth, discreetly spit it into a kitchen glass, then, usually the next morning, I use the dehydrator and spice grinder to dry and grind his semen into a fine powder. I later ingest the semen dust using a straw to snort it. What? I realize this is strange, but I was...
What the fuck?
Holy shit!
Sorry, fuck. Finish, Will.
My God. She's like fucking Tony Montana at the end of Scarface, but with a pile of cum dust on her desk. I fucking love her.
Okay,
I hate her, dude.
Yeah, no,
shit.
I'm gonna pause real quick, and I'm just saying, like, just if, first advice right off the bat, it's always better to smoke cum rock than snort cum dust. You don't want to be,
everybody knows that.
Like Felix says, you don't want to be the Tony Montana of cum. You want to be the Alfred Molina at the end of Boogie Nights of cum.
Well, I actually inject the cum in between my toes. Because
dude,
I'm addicted to cum.
I got
again.
That cum patch, man. That's the best. It just cruise all day. Go to the movies. It's awesome.
So, I mean,
you know, like everyone's been to a party where people are passing around pre-cum and smoking it. But when the cum dust comes out, that's when I get out of there.
I gotta leave. That's my rule. Once the dust hits the fan, dude, I'm out of there.
So, okay, here's the actual question part of it. She goes, I realize this is strange, but I was previously curious about semen and seemed to have happily found my own sexual placebo, and it has made me far more sexually expressive and confident in myself when I do it right before sex. Is there anything wrong with this practice? Should I tell Boris?
No.
Perhaps more important, are there healthier alternatives to drugs and alcohol or placebos to enhance sexual confidence? So where to begin with this one? She does a line of cum dust and pretends it's coke before having sex to get in the mindset to be like sort of sexually liberated.
Like some Frank Booth
confident.
Shit.
Yeah.
This is fucked up, dude. This is what happens when nerds fuck for the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's 50 years old. She has never gotten her pussy eaten until like some Russian maintenance man that she's now dating. Started. He came in to fix a vent, and he fucking ate her pussy. And she was like, "He's my boyfriend." This is a woman that's never fucked ever in her life. Also, do you understand? Do you understand how fucking what a nerd move this is? This bitch found she has the Soylent of fucking. She took all the joy out of sex. She powdered his cum. It was in your mouth. You had it. You had cum in your mouth. What are you putting it up your fucking nose for? You got the cool part of cum. That's how you get it. You don't fucking... Imagine if I fucking grilled up a burger, just a juicy, delicious burger, and I did all the work to just have... And I had a burger in my mouth, and then I spit it out and let it dry out overnight and fucking snorted fucking bacon cheeseburger dust the next day. That's someone who doesn't... If you love cum, enjoy the... You did all the work, you dumb bitch. Eat it at the time. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. You had to fucking go do a science experiment to like cum more? Oh, my... I'm fucking pissed. Also, I'm sorry. Give me a... I'm sorry to just ISO
no,
here,
go
but...
Go off.
No, go ahead.
A spice grinder? Imagine some motherfucker trying to make fresh coriander. Trying to make a chicken breast. And he's got jizz on her fucking stepson is trying to go fucking paleo, puts a bunch of fresh herbs on his chicken breast. Now he's eating Boris's cum. He's eating a Boris cum stir fry. Also, think about being around this woman during allergy season. Imagine you're on the train and this bitch sniffs some pollen, and now you just got a facial from her boyfriend because you're sitting underneath her.
I think this is going to be a debate show because, well, like, I hate to admit this, but, like, the people who write to Dear Prudence, they're more from, like, you know, my socioeconomic background, right?
Sure, sure.
They're like, so I'm going to be defending these people. Okay. I don't want to, but I believe, like, I don't think, like, I want to defend them, but they have the right to be defended.
Okay,
you know?
Sure.
Like, I think of myself
you
like
are
a public
the devil's
defender.
Advocate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Become snuffing so, devil's advocate.
I'm not going to go into how convoluted it is. Like, it is, like, she clearly just wants to do blow again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, like, there's so many other things you could do to simulate blow. There's, so like, literally anything else. Like, literally just cold calling people out of the phone book to get more cocaine. Yeah. What she's fucking doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, this but... Okay, so I think, yeah, she clearly had, like, a very dull life. Like, she, the most exciting thing that probably happened to her before, like, her, like, doing what Ethan Hawke did to himself in Gattaca, but with Boris's cum. it was, like, you know, there was a book party where they had too much limoncello.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but this is, I think it's, like, generally harmless. Like, if I found out that someone was doing this with my cum, I don't think I would feel, like, violated. I'd be like, well, that's, like, a weird thing to do with it, but it's, you know, it's, like, it doesn't
really affect
me.
I don't give a fuck what you do with my cum. If you get it out of my balls, make jewelry out of it. I don't care. You've done the work. It doesn't matter. Sniff it, snort it. As far as Boris is concerned, he doesn't fucking care, dude. First of all, discreetly, you think Boris doesn't see her spitting out his jizz into a fucking cup on the nightstand every night? She does this every day. You think he doesn't know it's going somewhere? That's what I love that she thinks this is a secret. Well, but I just, what's the point? It's just like a nerd way to fucking consume jizz. That's my issue with it. Stop doing it. It's too much work. You're fucking up the spice grinder.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna take a stab at, like, actually trying to give her advice here. And, like, the number one advice would be, like, invent a time machine and go back 30 years and, like, lead a more interesting life. Start doing drugs earlier. You know, start doing drugs earlier at, like, a normal time when people experiment with that shit. And, you know, now if you're looking to get that high, just do drugs again.
Yeah,
do drugs. It's okay. You're 50. It doesn't matter.
You're 50.
You're past the point where it fucking matters. Like, you know, you're not gonna fuck up your life too terribly. And however, I'm sure I can imagine Boris. You know, like most guys, like you said, Stav. Once the cum gets out of the balls, it's sort of like, you know, it's go with God. Yeah. You know, whatever.
That's the world. Yeah, it belongs to the states now. Yeah.
However, I said, you know, should I tell him? I mean, it's like, it's sort of weird. Like, I feel like the cat's kind of already out of the bag because it's hard to imagine him, you know, nutting in her mouth. And she's like, hold on one second. And then just, like, goes to the bathroom and comes back, you know? But, and then, you know, there's, you know, lots of, like, very cloudy glasses all over the house.
Yeah.
But I would say, really, if it hasn't been broached yet in the relationship, take this to your grave. Do not tell Boris.
For sure.
Because, like, you know, because of Stav, I'm now imagining him as, like, a Russian handyman. And I can imagine a guy like that getting very upset that you're stealing his cum and using it to make magic powder.
Oh, yeah, let's be clear.
Did you give it to any Jews? Did you give my cum to Jews?
Like, let's be clear. Boris is clearly from one of those cultures where he believes that if you take the cum out of his body, you can make a tulpa of him and harm him spiritually.
Yeah.
And keep him out of Russian heaven, which is a big Radio Shack with all the electronics from 1998 that they love.
Well, yeah, like... He could subscribe to the theory that like when you nut, it's like the sperm are just tiny homunculi, and that she's killing them, and, like, you know, for some sort of
I gotta say,
do this to my sons.
Freezing cum and then grinding it up does sound like some Baba Yaga shit.
That's true.
Like, you would only do that in a house where the bottom half is made out of chicken legs.
If you put a thin circle of your own powdered cum around your shack, it protects you from gypsies for a whole season. for an entire harvest.
I would caution her against, and like, you know, unless this is, you know, has to be brought up, I would caution against bringing it up, because, you know, like, you could get into a bigger argument about, you know, the creation of some sort of sperm golem, you know. And and I just think, like, look, if he's not bothered by it and you can do it like semi-privately, like, look, it's weird, it is strange, but it's not like, you know, I would not tell this woman to cease and desist immediately. If this is what makes her happy, I would just suggest that you just go back to doing cocaine or ketamine or something.
For sure. And here's where I'll say, if you must powder and consume the cum, why up your nose? Like, it's not good for you. At least boof it. Put it up your ass if you're going to do anything. And buy, for the love of God, buy another spice grinder. You have to have one for cum. That is the one piece of advice I have to stress. Buy a second one for cum so you can have fucking barbecues without everybody tasting your boyfriend's cum.
Tom, I was laughing about the idea of her son or stepson coming in, and he's like 15, yeah, and he thinks it's like a weed grinder, and he's like, bro, there's so much Keith in here.
They're rolling a joint with,
bro, I'm gonna get fucking gone.
Rolling a joint with just the dry powder. Be like, yo, dude, yeah, we're about to fucking go through the Stargate right now, my dude. Yo. And like, and then like all his friends, they're like, yo, oh my God, like Trevor's got that fucking, like, that kill shit. God, you know, and like he just keeps going back to the spice, scraping out the spice grinder and giving it to his friends and shit. There's a lot of knock-on consequences of doing this, you know. Okay. You know, maybe just have like, yeah, a separate spice grinder for the cum. Or if you want to be a little bit more sort of roots, a little bit more crunchy, authentic, just have a nice little mortar and pestle.
Yes, absolutely, dude. But again, then you have to have a second one from guacamole. You don't want, God forbid, dude.
Okay.
But I love it.
Well, yeah, that problem, well solved. All right.
I think we solved
it. Here's
that
the second one. The next one is not quite as outrageous.
Find a dealer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just get so nervous when I go to the cum dispensary. Yeah. All these cool.
Your name's on a list. You know, I just would rather do it the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid about lying to my doctor to get the cum card.
You know what, though? I mean, like, I feel a little weird about going to a cum dispensary as well, but it does sort of like, it takes away the awkward situation of having to hang out with your cum dealer before he gives you the cum that you need in your mouth. You have to play video games with them.
Well, listen, I just don't feel comfortable until we get every gay guy out of jail for selling cum in the 80s. I just don't feel comfortable going to a dispensary. It's all straight guys making all the money from the cum dispensaries now, you know?
Oh, well. You know, shout out. I just think the true hero of this letter is that the unsung hero is Boris, of course.
Of course, like, he's the guy.
Oh, my sure, God, dude.
Jeffrey.
Boris rocks.
He's the connect. He's the hookup.
I'm the plug. I'm looking in the mirror, looking at the plug.
I don't even know how my plug comes.
All right, here's the next one. This one isn't quite as outrageous, but it's pretty amazing. And this is from the classic Prudy section. So this is an old classic. Listen, check this one out. For the past 3 years, I've worked for a small business with only one other employee. My boss, the business owner, has serious mental health issues and has made the job extremely challenging at times. She has picked on me occasionally in the past, but has currently turned her focus on my coworker. We work in a private office suite, and no one has access to it but the three of us. Our boss has our own bathroom off her office, and the other employees and I share a separate bathroom. While I was on vacation last month, our boss twice came into the employee bathroom and pooped in the shower, which no one uses. My coworker discovered it after noticing a strange smell and finally opening the shower. My coworker was so mortified and afraid of our boss that she didn't say anything. The poop stayed until the cleaning lady came in later in the week. The following week, it happened again. This time, my coworker mentioned the strange smell to our boss, who told her she was imagining it.
Oh my God!
That's Pimp. That's Alpha.
My coworker was then too scared to say anything else. Since my coworker started working at the office, my boss had been behaving more bizarrely. She has started leaving her own bathroom door open whenever she uses it. We can hear it and see her if we walk by. This is shocking bullying, but I don't want to quit because I am making way more in this position than I will get elsewhere, and I have flexible hours. Is this a sign of dangerous mental illness? Should I flee?
My coworker has already put in her notice.
Yes, obviously.
Dude, this lady needs to fucking rewatch the Michael Jordan documentary, dude. That's the way. That's what happens when you're around greatness, dude. Leaders. It's different leadership goes different ways, man. And that, if you want to be a part of this team, you're gonna have to deal with a little watching an old lady shit herself when you walk by to get your lunch.
This is like, yeah, no, this is like the girl boss shit I can get behind. Yeah. Like, this is awesome. This is awesome. Like, I don't know what the fuck this company does. I kind of wish I knew.
Yes, dude.
I'm imagining it's just like a trinket shop.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm imagining it is. But, like, it's like, I don't know. Like, there are a bunch of every great genius throughout history was an eccentric. Yeah. And This woman's, like, weird poop obsession. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was recent. I do like that she said, I want to pick out that she said she started acting more insane when the coworker came. Like, she was normal. And then this other woman started working there, and she's like, all right, I have to, like, impress this woman. I'm going to do some really crazy stuff with my poop. I'm really going to explore my pooping abilities and where I put it and how I do it. But I really don't think it's a big deal. Like, you're getting money. She says she's getting paid a ton.
Yeah.
And her hours are flexible. Like, you can get fulfillment outside of work. Listen, you could just stack your paper. Like, this is rich dad, poor dad shit.
Sure.
Stack the money you're making to get your own house. And then it's like, well, you could poop with rules. You could poop with the door closed. No piece of feces will ever touch the shower.
Yeah.
That's for your own life. That's where you get fulfillment. Americans are obsessed with getting fulfillment from their job where they think everyone has to follow their poop rules. No, it's not about that.
I like what you're saying, and I think on some level that's correct. You got to do the fucking math. You got to fucking, how much more am I making than I would at a place where my boss wouldn't shit in the shower? Versus what's the mental cost, right? There's a little bit of that. But also, I think there's a really great opportunity because the boss is denying this, right?
Yes.
So what you can do, you fucking put a little secret camera in that bathroom. Now you got video of your boss shitting, you know, and they can't be mad because it doesn't exist as far as she's concerned.
Yes, yes.
Now you sell that. You flip that. You sell that to a fetish website
where old
ladies are shitting.
You sell that to Chuck Berry Industries.
You contact the estate of Chuck Berry and you say, we have something that the ghost of, get a fucking Ouija board quick. We got something your dad might be interested in. And then you see how many ghost dollars that tape of that lady shitting.
No, stop. This is exactly where mine was going on this. It is about a cost benefit analysis of like how much.
That's right, baby.
For good pay and flexible hours, how much shit in the office bathroom can you put up with?
Right.
Right. But like here's the thing I picked up on. The fact that the coworker left the shit in the shower and made the cleaning lady take care of the shit in their shower like a week later, that's unbelievable. Do not. So like if shit in the shower is the problem, the drain is right there. Just get a good hot like stream going. Aim it like angle the nozzle downward on the shit pile. Mm-hmm. And the shit will disperse. It will liquefy and go down the drain eventually. But the steam that proliferates will be very shit infused.
Shit
steam. So you might going to want to like avoid the bathroom for that part of the day. Please do not make the cleaning lady just sort of like with the heel of her shoe like just sort of like press a mound of shit down a shower drain. Okay, don't do that. Just turn the water on. But as you said, Saab,
at least soften it up for her.
Soften it up.
At the very least, soften it up.
Yeah. Maybe just use common, like, sort of office supplies to make a little, like, shovel, scoop it up, and then put it in your boss's, like, work trash, you know?
Mm.
So to do the passive aggressive thing. Every time your boss shits in your shower, pile up the shit outside of her door and just be like, okay, well, like you said, Saab, the shit's not there.
There's no shit.
She shits in the shower, you shit in the sink. That's the Chicago way.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a way you can escalate this so that there will be shit everywhere, but officially, nobody notices it. Nobody can say anything. Nobody can say anything. And you know what? It's like shitting in the office is one of the only pleasures that having an office job affords you.
True.
So,
that's true. That's the most fucked up part of this. That she took away the beauty of shitting in your own bathroom. Now it's always fucking smelling like her shit. I mean, it's brutal to have a lunatic like this, but there's no reasoning with them. You have to beat them at their own game or you have to quit. What are you made of? Are you willing to fucking take videos of her shit? Are you willing to get the turds and put them in her fucking trash can? And, you know, or are you just going to have to go get a fucking job at an Amazon warehouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a challenge. This is a call to adventure. This is a call to find your, like, your inner grit. Like, how far are you willing to go to battle the shitting woman?
I mean, or
start talking to her while she's shitting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's in there shitting. Be like, "What's up?"
If this woman is telling you to your face, "You didn't smell the shit that I left in that shower," she is ready to fight a mental war with you that could destroy the earth, and you should be willing to fight her on it.
Absolutely. I mean, this is like when John Rambo said, "I'll give you people a war you won't fucking believe." This is First Blood.
No, like the boss has drew first blood, so anything that you do in retaliation is okay. It's okay. So like,
cover yourself with shit.
Like, go home. Completely. Go home to your husband or boyfriend or whatever. Steal some of their cum. Have them donate some of their cum. Freeze it. Dehydrate it. Grind it up into powder, and then give it to your boss. As like, oh, here's some new. This is a new work drug that'll help you.
Here's a salve.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, like you could just up the ante with various bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that one.
Get ready for the shit war.
Yeah, that one is solved.
Problem solved.
All right,
another problem.
Shit in her purse. Ridiculously.
All right, so the next couple are sort of like quarantine related relationship problems. You know, a lot of people are they're isolated, they're bored, they're trapped together with a partner, and sometimes that can reveal hidden fissures. So this question is along those lines. Since we've been isolated together, I have noticed that my husband seems to be obsessed with watching videos on his phone. On the weekends, he will watch for 8 or 9 hours, and during the week, maybe 5 or 6 hours. He would likely watch more if he were not working. They are just quick little snippets. I cannot have a conversation with him because he's listening to the sound. When we try to watch things together, he puts one earphone in his ear and says he's still listening, but he's not, and he snaps at me when I try to speak to him. He loudly reacts to things he is seeing. We have little to no communication because he's obsessed with these videos. I have spoken with him on many occasions, but he says it's no big deal and ignores my request. What can I do?
Wait a minute. Is this sponsored advertising for Quibi?
Yeah.
You just can't get enough morsels of programming. 10-minute bits. They're quick bits. And they're so enrapturing. What's going to happen in Chrissy's court? What about the gang down at the station at 9012 Hawaii Avenue?
I feel like this letter writer needed to provide more details before I can counsel her on how to deal with this problem. Because it seems like her husband is watching 8 to 9 hours of TikToks a day.
Yeah.
And like, your husband
is cheating on you. I mean, there's no other way around this. What do you mean he watches videos so every moment of the day he can't talk to you? That's not a fucking real issue.
No.
Something is fucked up is going on. Like, I don't understand. He just ignores you? This man hates you.
Yeah.
He's corresponding with his mistress or, maybe boy that he's seeing. I don't know. There's something fucked up going on.
That's such an amazing bit of self-delusion where, the guy I live with and presumably love won't talk to me or look me in the eye or engage with me in any way without hostility. It must be those dang short videos he keeps watching.
He just loves videos.
Oh,
so
he loves viral content. He just loves he loves Fail Uncle and Fail Army.
Well, Fail
it's
Army
like,
is
he
great,
would be
yeah.
He would be listening to me and talking. He would be my like perfect partner if it wasn't for Fail Uncle.
If it wasn't, if we were, I don't know, if our anniversary hadn't fallen on Fail Friday, I think we actually could have gotten somewhere.
This also, another possibility is that this man could be in the middle of some kind of big or Freaky Friday body switch with like a teenager. So maybe somewhere there's like a 13-year-old with a bowl cut who's trying to get his wife's attention and like buy her flowers and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's just over there watching Minecraft videos all day and ignoring his wife that's trying to have sex with him.
And
that's a real possibility.
The wife is like,
in which case I would say find a witch or like some kind of warlock or some kind of.
Which, like, again, talk to Boris.
Yeah, talk to Boris.
Well, I mean, once again, with this, it's like, the videos are not the problem. It's just the fact that your husband can't bear to fucking, like, speak to you. But again, I need to know what these videos are. It sounds like he's just watching TikToks and Instagram stories and chuckling to himself for 8 or 9 hours a day on a weekend, which is, a little weird for anyone to be doing. But like you said, you know, if divorce is out of the question because you have nowhere to move at the moment, I would say that this is another one to just like, you know, test the limits. Push back in your own way by getting really into like Twitch streams or something.
It's all about retaliation.
Get a favorite streamer and then get really into their life. Mail them presents.
Yeah. This, I mean, just honestly. Also, here's the thing. Here's an uncomfortable thing. Is it possible this woman is that annoying? Is it a? It's a real possibility that I don't know, man. Like, you know how you're just like stuck with somebody and you try and talk to them for like 5 minutes and then like you just kind of slowly reach for your phone and then just kind of stick there until the elevator opens. Yep. What if this? What if quarantine is this for this man? He's just treating that. He's just gonna wait out. Conversing with this woman that he lives with until the stay-at-home order is lifted, and he's just going to keep killing time.
I got to grind out this time, and then I'm never seeing this person again.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like...
Which is respect to that move. Thinking you could just wait out 4 months, potentially. Just like it's an elevator.
I'm waiting out 4 months, 9 seconds at a time on my phone.
Yeah.
There's another possibility, though. Will, you said TikToks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think this is, like, one of those guys who posts, like, videos of, like communist TikToks and is like, the kids are all right.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell yes,
oh,
it
God,
is.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
That's what he's chuckling at. Some 17-year-old girl.
He's searching for 16-year-old girls talking about guillotines to just be like, methinks the lady needs to read fucking...
Gentlemen, I think we must up our game. Like, you know, in which case there are bigger problems at hand.
Yeah, yeah. He's on there immediately. But like, Marx is pretty cool. But have you ever read Engels?
Yeah. Yes. No. He's possibly like addicted to the metrics and some other things.
Yeah. Yep. Probably. I think we can all agree. Probably a pedophile.
I mean.
I think your options are pedophile or hates you. And
the answer for both of the people in this relationship is to get out of this relationship.
It's over.
This is beyond.
Yeah, that is like, not a salvageable situation.
Do they is there any more info? Do they smash still? What?
No,
is
that's
he like
it.
About
that's
him?
Well, I mean, no, he's too. He's too busy watching IG stories.
This guy's just like slowly giving her some like very mediocre missionary pipe, and you just hear like. If you're watching Fail Army videos, remember, turn on notifications. She has the phone over her head. Like,
dude, one time...
He's catching back shots, just watching like teens point at things set to music.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those neat videos that has a paragraph of writing in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, she finally gets him to talk, and he's like, you know, Mandy, right now you're literally being garbage. You're being literally a garbage.
let me put
Norma. Oh, so my wife thinks it's a problem that I found stuff I enjoy. Normal world. My wife's really having a normal one.
Let me put my advice to both the letter writer and their partner in terms that the partner can understand. Is this relationship salvageable? Nope. Should you get a divorce? Yep.
Hey, like Morrissey said, I know it's over.
All right. Here's another one that's a sort of a quarantine-related relationship problem. So this one says,
"Nice.
My partner of 9 months, Lisa, is extremely close with her extended family, much closer than I am with mine. Lisa's family has been doing huge family calls via Zoom for the past 6 weeks, ever since our area instituted shelter-in-place orders. Lisa and I live together. I've joined these calls nearly every week, and I find them exhausting. I feel like I'm performing cheerfulness and positivity. I don't have much in common with Lisa's family, and I can't find much to be positive about in the midst of a pandemic. Meanwhile, my friend group has been having Zoom calls, which Lisa has been joining about once a week. I want to scale back my involvement in Lisa's family calls, but I don't really have any excuse beyond I just don't enjoy them. I don't have anywhere to be or anything else to do. We're all stuck inside for the foreseeable future. We live in a small studio, so I'd be still exposed to the calls. And I want Lisa to continue joining my friend's group calls because it's important to me that my friends get to know her. I see a future with her. Is it unreasonable to ask Lisa if I can stop joining her family Zooms, yet still have her join my friend Zooms? What do I do during the family Zoom when I'm still in the room? What about when her family asks about me, which they do whenever I don't join? I've started dreading these every week, and I don't want to tell her that. I just don't like her family very much.
Oh my god!
This one is pretty-
okay. So this guy, this question comes from the guy from the last question, but 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like this is when they started dating.
Yeah.
This is such a fucking insane thing to want. It's like you live in a studio. Your dumbass is the one who jumped on every fucking call. You set the fucking precedent, dumbass. You're stuck. The only way out of this is to fake some kind of. You got to start crying on the next one. And you got to fucking pretend like it reminds you of a dead relative or something. And you got to be like, it's so beautiful what you guys share, but it hurts. And I'm away from my family. You got to find some fucking sob story. And you got to George Costanza your way out of it. Yeah. There's no other way. Well, there's no other way.
Stop. When I was reading this one, I was actually reading into the letter writer. So maybe low-key problematic thoughts and behaviors. Because when she said, like, you know, Lisa is very into her family and extended family, and they have big raucous Zoom calls, I was thinking that it was a big, fat Greek family. And then it was some sort of, like ethnic, like, very tightly knit, like, ethnic extended family. And then, like, you know, Brad or whoever, some boring zero who gets on the call and just has nothing to say. He can't exude enthusiasm and lust for life.
Of course.
Because that's been beaten out of him as presumably a wasp or some sort of Protestant. Yeah,
Ringo.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also love the idea that like the family Zoom calls could be coming on and they're playing traditional music, they're dancing, they're screaming at each other. they're telling
Let me stop you right there, Will. There is no way a foreign family is spending that much time on a fucking Zoom call. Especially not the dads. We're like, yeah, everything's fucking it's so awesome. And then there's none of that. There'll be like a video chat every week, but this is some fucking like Zoom calls that last every week is truly some like Connecticut type.
That's
shit.
Some white people.
You know what
shit.
I mean?
It's
absolutely.
That's some Mayo ass shit.
Okay.
Yeah, it is Mayo.
Some cable my family sweater ass shit.
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Okay. I'm feeling targeted.
What if your family does 2 or 3 a week?
Oh, Felix loves his That's whole sweet. Family, fucking bitch.
roasted.
I just what I love about this one though is I love the specter of him getting out of doing the family Zoom calls, but they're in some tiny shitty studio apartment where he's still besieged by the sound of a family loving each other.
Like, bro, you're trapped, you dumb bitch. What? I don't get this. You're just gonna be. What are you gonna be playing? Fucking like your Switch. 3 feet away from her while you listen to all of this.
Yeah, this is the kind of deal where you just kind of suck it up and be an adult. You have to do something you don't enjoy for a while. Once a week, it's not that big a deal.
I also like the most bitch made thing to me about this comment as well. He's just like, I just can't feel like I just can't muster any cheerfulness during a pandemic. Fuck off, dude.
Shut up. Shut up. You're fine.
You're fine.
What are you?
Don't lie to us. Say that to your girlfriend. Don't lie to us.
Yeah. Are you one of those grocery store workers who's like exposed to it every day and getting fucking screamed at for $9 an hour? Or are you just like this annoying white guy who's like the emotional labor of performing cheerfulness? It's like, off, man.
I don't have enough spoons for that call. I'm sorry.
Yeah, literally. What a fucking pussy.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
I'm going to make him do my family Zoom calls, which are a laugh riot, by the way. They're fun. I didn't know that was weird to do, but we do a lot.
No, it's not weird. It's the sign that you have a good family that loves each other.
Yeah, it's true.
Like a bitch.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, Fast and the Furious movies are about family.
That's
Diesel
true.
Is a bitch in those movies.
See, like, coming from sort of like my sort of more waspy family background, we do multiple Zoom calls a week, but we all get on the Zoom and just nod curtly at each other and then log off immediately.
We have what? Oh, man. Zoom, I've missed a few because I've been had a tight recording schedule. This is us, but we're laughing. We're having a good old time.
Live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. And this coronavirus shit is no excuse to be a gloomy Gus. You know, unless you're digging mass graves on Hearts Island, or like a healthcare worker or an MTA employee or something like that. Like,
I do. I take this all back if you're a fucking poultry factory worker.
Yeah,
it's been exposed.
There's no way.
Yeah. This lady's like, okay, I don't give a fuck if all your closest friends at the plant died and you have fucking chicken gizzards all over your face. We are going to play Quiplash with my family for the fourth time this week. I take it back if that's your situation. But if you're a fucking graphic designer or a podcaster like us, which we know is not a fucking job,
no, you can tell
shut the fuck up and nod and smile.
You can tell by the way he talks about it, because we're all stuck inside together. He's just assuming, oh, of course, none of us have jobs that are necessary for the functioning of fucking anything. This guy needs to spend at least a shift before he can beg off of a family Zoom call. Small price to pay to be inside during a fucking deadly pandemic instead of out there dealing with the morons and the fucking viruses. You got to work at least one shift trying to fend off hordes of fucking ravenous fatties in front of fucking Red Lobster. Like with one of the novelty oars from off the wall, as they come, as they try to storm in and grab all the fucking Cheddar Bay biscuits.
This guy is like, he's like, he just has one of those nondescript office jobs, and he's treating himself like that scene in American Sniper where Chris Kyle goes backstage high, and his wife calls him, and she's like, "Where are you? Are you home?" And he's like, "Yeah. I just needed a minute." That's him for like making graphics for, I don't know, fucking Viacom or some shit.
All right, stop.
Also, there's no way this girl isn't much hotter than him. That's
oh,
the,
of course.
This is the fucking coddled behavior of a man uglier than his girlfriend, who's definitely because her family, I guess, I don't know, but her family loved. She doesn't understand that people can take advantage of you because her family loves each other. So she doesn't know that this fucking piece of shit doesn't care about her and will leave her for in 10 years. He will be trying to fuck teenagers off TikTok.
Yeah,
for sure. I wish I could talk to her. Get out. Is what
absolutely.
I'm
yeah.
Lady.
Fuck this guy.
I think people with tight families are often very streetwise.
Stav's like, Lisa, if you're there, get at your boy. I got some dust for you.
Yeah, at StavyBaby2 on Instagram. Hit the DMs with the disappearing titty pic.
All right, Stav, you got time for one more advice?
We can do a quick one. Okay, I got to go soon, but I can do one more.
There's one more. Okay, dear Prudence, my husband has an extremely obnoxious habit that I have spoken to him about several times over the past 5 years. He will pick at his toenails while watching TV and then leave the remnants on the couch where he's been sitting. I will periodically find large chunks of toenail clippings randomly on our couch, coffee table, and floor. It's not often, but every few months, I will find these lovely gifts. I have explained to him that it is disturbing and gross. I have politely requested that he do this in the bathroom. My requests have gone unnoticed and been ignored. I feel disrespected and grossed out. I have begun to passive aggressively handle this by picking up the clippings whenever I find them and putting them in his coffee cup in the mornings. I know this is wrong, but I find some relief in making him discover his own toenail clippings in his coffee. What else can I do? How can I help him understand that this is neither acceptable nor fair to me? Lady, why are you seeking advice? You figured it out.
Yeah, you solved the problem already.
You solved the fucking problem. But like, I mean, okay. So let's just assume for the sake of argument that she is putting her husband's disgusting fucking toenail clippings in his coffee, and he's just sipping it, and they're like cutting his gums on his disgusting yellow, just shards of his fucking feet in his mouth every morning. But then still does it. Just doesn't give a shit. Your husband is someone who just like cannot be fazed. Like there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Like he's just like he has no shame. He has no decency. He cannot be reasoned with or negotiated with. What do you do then?
Nothing, man. You just fucking live life. Like you just enjoy that man's presence. Because that's the kind of that man probably honestly lays pipe. If he can't be bothered at all, he's all about mindfulness. He's always in the moment. So look, maybe he's not. He doesn't give a fuck about the toenails, whatever. But he's probably fucking. I think that's the kind of guy that would fuck good.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
because he's.
But I will
totally
say,
at peace with himself.
Yeah, he's completely at peace with himself. Nothing can be fazed. He knows what he likes, and he's just gonna go at it 100%. Now I'll say that it is. You're gonna have to up the ante if you're gonna want to really deal with this. I don't think the coffee cup thing is enough. I think you're going to have to come up more and more, you know? I think she has to hurt him with his own make a knife with all his toenails and stab him with it. Put one in his dick hole. Maybe that's what it is.
That's the ultimate.
Oh, God, yeah.
You have to slowly start ratcheting it up.
Yes.
But, I mean, listen, I'm somebody that will often leave a sock or two around. I like to fucking, you just have to, maybe he's a forgetful guy. Let's play devil's advocate here. But one toenail in the dick hole, it's all over, I promise you. You're pussyfooting around with this thing.
Yeah, once again, we have another letter from somebody where somebody in their life is basically inviting them to a battle of wills.
Yeah.
And they're just not even picking up the signals. It's like, this is mind combat. Get to work. Get to, you know, mount up for battle.
I know.
Or invest in a spice grinder.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't even, everything goes back to Boris.
You don't even need to dehydrate toenail clippings. They're ready to be ground up, and maybe even like get a good roast on them before, you know, a couple 30 seconds in a little cast iron skillet. It'll really bring out some of that flavor when you put it in their coffee.
Damn.
Or just like here,
that first lady.
Yeah, just feed him his toenail clippings over like a very long period of time and document it, and then. Paralyze him and wake him up, and like where his eyes are like duct tape open, and show him like a slideshow, like Red Dragon, and being like, "This is you eating your toenails. Do you see? These are toenail dust going in your pee hole. Yeah. Do you see?"
And do what they did in Oz and sort of have shards of toenail in his food until it cuts up his internal organs and kills him.
Yes,
like they did to that guy in Oz.
A lot of good stuff. And also, don't be afraid to look outside the box. It doesn't all have to be toenail. You know, related, you could cheat on him.
Yeah,
if he gets bad enough.
Yeah, exactly. You
find one of his enemies and jack him off.
Yeah, exactly. Start leaving other men's toenail clippings around the house and see if he notices.
Yeah, he's like, wait a second, these don't look like my toenails.
A guy like this, by the way, like this guy is an alpha. He definitely has enemies. You have enemies if you stand for something in your life. This guy does.
Yes. He has enemies. So, yeah. Yep, fuck those guys and clip their toenails. That'll show.
Well, Slav, thank you very much for stopping by. I think we've solved all these people's problems. I think we've added like a perspective that is sorely, sorely lacking from the entire advice giving genre, which is always always women giving advice to other women and telling them that, you know, men are wrong. But like, you know, when we say the guys are wrong, like you can take that to the bank because it's credible. But you know,
100%.
We're non-biased. We're just four handsome, young, money, and pussy getters.
That's so true, and couldn't have been put a better way. And if you're listening at home and you want more of my personal wisdom without the fellas, please check out Stabby Solves Your Problems. I put it up on YouTube every Monday or Tuesday. We're still trying to figure that out, but it goes live every Friday, 6 o'clock on Twitch, twitch.tv/Stabby Baby. And this week, we actually have a very interesting perspective. We have my good pal Ian Fidance will be the guest.
Excellent.
So that'll be Ian has led one of the most interesting lives of all time.
Ian is half of the letter writers to Dear Prudence, actually. No, I have watched, and Stav, you've gotten your listeners have sourced some very good questions that
the show is great. It's a true change of pace. I really love it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, boys. Unfortunately, I do have to fucking take off, but I have to go. I have to do my basketball pod.
All right.
But it's hilarious. I feel like I work more during quarantine.
I'm doing like three times as much podcasts.
Yeah. It keeps the brain off everything else.
Yeah. Well, always a joy, Stabby Baby. Please come back sometime soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Yep. We'll be back in a second.
I was a child and wanted all of so wild, though dinosaur motion, but played with devotion, babe, and sang with devotion, just a whole of the notes. I was walking and I am, and it wasn't no real.
No bombs in space.
Oh no, it hurts.
No bombs in space.
Oh no, it hurts.
No bombs in space.
It always hurts.
No bombs in space.
Oh no. I was going to be wise to the tragical life.
All right. We are back, and we've traded Stav for an Amber. Hello.
Hello.
Amber's back, and for the second half of the show, obviously this is a time of year that would normally be all about the grads. It's all about graduating high school and college and starting that next big, exciting chapter of your life. And, you know, a staple of the grad experience in America is the celebrity commencement address. And now under quarantine, it sort of opened up a new venue for anyone to do a commencement address because you don't even have to show up. You can just record a message that is played to high schoolers. And like, you know, this is your, you know, like it's sort of a way to announce a certain, infer a certain credibility and charm to yourself as a politician that you wouldn't otherwise get the chance to flex, really. And, I saw one this week that I wanted to share for a couple reasons. This is Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse. He gave a graduation speech that was, that he shared with the grads of the nation. And I'm going to share it for you now because I've been doing some ghostwriting, you know, under quarantine. And I guess it isn't really ghostwriting if I'm admitting this, but I'm flexing a little bit of my comedy writing skills. You know, I've been hired to do a few gigs, and I just wanted to share what I wrote for one of my favorite politicians, Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse. So let's just see how much of this we can take.
Congratulations, graduates. This is a big moment. Not on graduating high school, but on making the journey down the stairs from your bedroom to the living room and putting on something slightly more formal than sweatpants. Your grandparents are proud of you. We're all proud of you. It took a lot of effort. We want to recognize your sacrifice. Congratulations, parents, teachers, and coaches. Not that there's really any meaningful distinction among those categories anymore at this point. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. Thanks a lot, China. We're all teachers now. And let's be honest, at the start of this,
pause it. Okay. All right. He's starting off real strong. I mean, he's getting you on, you know, it's just, you know, if you have to give one of these addresses, you know, be it at a wedding, a graduation, a funeral, always best to break the ice with a little jokes to get the crowd on your side. So Ben Sasse is beginning with, thanks for putting on something other than a sweatpants, you fucking slob. And then thanks, China. He's just got to get that in as well, because it's just like he can't just be he's flexing his I'm the fun dad character that Ben Sasse has been doing forever since he became a national political figure, but in the MAGA world he has to also be like I'm a hog as well.
Yeah,
I'm a feral hog who just has to like in a commencement address get in that little dig at China. Right. Be like, thanks, China, for making us look at our kids all day long. All right, keep it going.
Visionary math teachers changing the world. But after about 2 weeks, we all just decided to default into gym teachers. I'm kidding. My dad was a gym teacher. I'm serious. He used to teach English and social studies, but he always aspired to get to gym so he didn't have to put on formal clothes every day. And he could wear the same sort of sweats that most of you are wearing from the bottom half down anyway. But anyway, I know, Dad, gym is important. If you're watching, Dad, as if he's watching. My children aren't at his house. And like all grandparents, there's no chance he can get Zoom to work without my children there to do it for him.
Mom, I'm trying to do something here.
Adults don't tell you this.
Okay.
This is so king of comedy. This is fucking terrible. This is very Rupert Pupkin.
Well, Rupert Pupkin can tell a joke. He can't even deliver anything. He just stumbles over everything.
Yeah, he has like the pace of his delivery is just he gets too excited midway or not excited. He gets nervous like midway through the joke that no one's laughing. And so he's like, oh, gotta rush it out. He has the delivery of a premature ejaculator.
that's what I was going for here. It's sort of like the cadence and rhythm with which he delivers these, you know, terrible jokes and little like tossed aside observations that are like he's reading off something and he's trying to make it seem like he's giving you stuff that's sort of off the cuff when he's like, no, my dad was a gym teacher too. And he says here, his dad was a gym teacher, but not just a gym teacher. He was a social studies and English teacher, too, who decided to become a full-time gym teacher just because he wanted to wear sweatpants all the time. A fascinating anecdote from your childhood, Ben. Please show me more. Please let's hear more.
Twice a week in real-world life, someone's going to ask you to climb a giant rope. No reason. Just climb the rope. Sure, every now and then the rope is a metaphor, but honestly, most of the time, it's just a big rope, and you have to climb it. If you don't get that joke, talk to your mom and dad back in the day when we were a lot fitter than you.
Why? Do they have a brain injury? And they can explain that joke to me?
Wait, pause it. Hey, we should ask Ben's wife about pushing rope. Am I right?
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, more Ben, more sass.
So, gym teachers, those of you who chose to do it as a calling and those of you who've been forced into it as a calling, I salute you. So here we are. We're in your living room. I'm on a laptop. You're on a couch because 2020 is a heck of a year. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but you're not missing out on that much because honestly, nobody, and by nobody, I mean nobody, remembers anything about their high school graduation. In fact, a lot of us spend a lot of our lives trying to forget as much about high school as we possibly can. You know what, Irene? You remember sophomore year.
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
You don't want those memories to be defining for you. And in fact, there are a whole bunch of people who make a whole bunch of money by just trying to help other people forget high school. They're called psychologists. In fact, 95% of all gainfully...
All right. That's part one. I like that Ben is talking here like, most people don't remember high school because it was so traumatic. And, you know, we all remember those kids in high school who doused the shy girl with pig's blood. Yeah, that was me and my friends. We're right. Keeping psychologists. we're keeping them and driving BMWs.
This is really bleak.
All right, it's very grim because... It's like Ben Sasse's like actual political program, just like endless war and austerity and shit. It's like, this is what it's for. Like, this is the America that it wants to protect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just this fucking flaccid cock series of punchlines and boring stories and like hokum fucking bullshit prairie charm that's identical to anywhere else in America. It's just white noise, just purgatory. It's nothing. It's so depressing.
It is. It is your shift manager at Applebee's trying to like lighten things up during a meeting.
Like, this is why people can't go to the doctor. This is why like we have traded any type of like national capability and dignity for like just buying cheap shit that breaks all the time. This is why everyone just wants to kill themselves because their job and has to work well past the time that they should. It's for like this culture. It's really awful.
No,
this is awful.
It's so guys like Ben Sasse can like get a little bit goofy, and by that I mean roll up the sleeves on their Oxford shirt and just have a dumb vacuous smile as they shit out these just like the worst attempts at humor probably ever done by a human being.
Yeah, that's. He's my least favorite type of conservative, the wedding crashers conservative, because it's like if you look at their actual worldview, it's as insane or apocalyptic as like Trump or Bush or anyone. It's like the same shit where it's like, no, we have to surround Iran with military bases. The next century of our lives will be like contesting this shitty patch of sea against China forever. We'll fund endless proxy wars. We'll spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on fucking surveillance, destroying people's civil liberties. We won't do anything for the precarity that people live in. Every moment of people's lives will be just fucking fraud anxiety because we want it that way. Like, hey, this is just the world we live in. But their cultural affect is like a fat guy, like looking at a picture of a fat guy at a Speedo and going, that's just wrong. Like, that's what everyone, you're all sacrificing for this fucking cunt. And it's so, like, this is funny. Like, I laughed and I, like, reposted this video because it's funny, like, how much he sucks. But it's also like, yeah, we're living in this guy's world.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is the winner of American society. It's Ben Sasse and guys like him. And, like, to your point, Felix, like, even in the middle of these, like, you know, just miserable attempt to be, like, folksy and humorous, he can't help but try to start World War III with China.
Yeah, no, I mean... Oh man, he's just, like, he's just so fucking detestable. Like,
I need more. Give me more sass.
In fact, 95% of all gainfully employed psychologists, and I'm serious, there are dozens of them that are gainfully employed, their job is really just to help people forget high school. And the other 5%, they just research hamsters who got lost in mazes, which, come to think of it, is a lot like high school, and that's why we want to forget it. Those hamsters also need their own psychologists now. Here's what I'm trying to say. There will always be money to be made in psychology. No, that's a joke. Do not, if you're headed to college, do not major in psychology.
Wait, wait, pause it. Pause it for a second. Pause it.
Wait, so he's implying, he's saying that they're rich because of how bad high school is, or is he saying that they're all losers and they research hamsters for free? What the fuck is the structure of this joke? You fucking, like, you went to college for like fucking 12 years, you fucking cunt. You can't even like structure one sentence that relates to the last thing you said.
No, he directly contradicts.
You have the familiarity with English as like Google Translate. God damn it.
He directly contradicts the premise of his joke here.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're a psychologist, you make like $700 an hour. So, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but like, it's not a bad profession to seek out. It's not like, you know, oh, like a joke about being a philosophy major in college. Like, it's an established profession. And he seems to imply that like, there's only a handful of them who are gainfully employed. It's just like, no,
No, it's so that people could forget high school, which everyone wants to do, but only a few people pay psychologists to help them do, so that there are a few who are employed, but not many, because other ones are doing hamster research.
Where they don't get paid. They're doing pro bono hamster research.
They're just in it for the hamsters.
You're like, what the fuck is he saying?
No, I'll tell you what happened is that he started off with this bit about, wow, high school, huh, psychiatrists. And then he realized, oh, wait a minute, no, that's a soft science. That's not STEM. My whole bit is how that's bad and you shouldn't do it. So I have to now throw that little bit of red meat out there the same way I did with the China thing. It's just maintaining his ideological bona fides.
All right. Yeah. Let's keep it going.
I was saying, nobody remembers their high school graduation, except for you guys. You guys are going to be the first generation in human history to actually have your high school graduation seared into your memories. You're going to be at your class reunion in 25 or 30 years. I mean, people 30 years out of high school are really old. By the way, I graduated high school 30 years ago this month, so thanks for rubbing it in.
You said it!
You're going to say
it. He said it!
He said it!
Also, I have multiple friends who are now like, they're teachers, so they're teaching from home, like over video. And they're like, first of all, nothing is sticking because that's what school is. So, you know, the ones that are able to say, even like turn in their homework because they're a little bit older, like there is no purchase for the information. It's just there, you know, it just goes in one ear and out the other. And so, like, they all have this suspicion that basically when they look back on like, what was your seventh grade year like, it's just going to be like white static noise. It'll just be like this empty thing because they have no place for it. They have no geography for it that sets it because they were staring at a fucking screen. And that's not what school is. But like only like 5% of school is actually about like meeting benchmarks. The rest of it is like teaching kids not to bite each other and like to work socially. And the idea that he thinks that this is going to be more memorable than having to actually like sit in a room full of other people where you're all wearing really stupid gowns and, you know, at least one person is naked under theirs, an actual like event in a place. Like he's like, this is actually more not. It's like, no, they're going to look back on this and it's just going to be, their memory will be white television static.
Yeah, here's another completely, there's two completely contradictory premises that he's done just in the last 10 seconds. One is getting mad at his audience for making him bring up the fact that he graduated high school 30 years ago, which he set up himself. And then the other one is that high school is so bad that there's a whole sort of fraudulent industry of people kept afloat to help others forget high school. But you also, nobody remembers their high school graduation.
You will, even though you're staring at a screen and it's not an actual event that you're experiencing in a place because you can't.
All right. Give me more sass. More sass.
Reunion service ceremonies. Remember that time that China started a big global pandemic that created the worst public health crisis in over a century and brought the economy to its knees? And we had to stay at home and everybody was hoarding toilet paper and we all watched this documentary about some weirdo dude who raised tigers. It'd be pretty hard to forget that. So you guys have this silver lining. You're going to remember your high school graduation. Nobody else has ever remembered their high school graduation. You're going to remember it. You're graduating in your living room. and you're having a senator come and talk to you about some dude named Joe Exotic. That's probably the least weird thing that happened this last month, because we haven't even started talking about murder hornets yet.
Random.
Murder hornets. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not the murder hornet's fault. If an insect grows up being called a murder hornet, you can't be surprised when they actually start ripping the heads off of honeybees. I get it. That's a pretty good point. We all sort of do grow into our names. And by the way, that's why everybody named Jeremy is the worst. Sorry, Jeremy. Not my fault. Blame your mom and dad. Anyway, the murder hornets, they're in Washington State, and they're really bad. But the murder hornets, they aren't even half as bad as the black hole, in case you haven't noticed, or if you haven't been reading, and you should be because you got time on your hands. Scientists just discovered a black hole that's 4 times the size of our sun, and it's apparently in a system.
Okay.
You hear about this, guys?
That black hole I discovered is this commencement of speech. Brutal. That's what science is. It is obliterating light, gravity, and meaning itself when you encounter it. Okay, just a couple things here.
What is this, though? What is this, like, late-night monologue style? I mean, like, all commencement speakers are stupid. Cancel all of them anyway. Someone is always offended by whoever it's going to be. It's a stupid thing anyway. Just have the principal or someone from the school. Don't do celebrity commencement. It's dumb. But, like, this actual style of, like, he's doing a late-night monologue. Granted, it's written by, like, a, you know, by, like, a BuzzFeed writer. Yes.
By Will Menaker.
This is not even like, you know, reach for your dreams. You're going to get through this, which is at least the standard for commencement speeches.
Okay. No, yeah. Like it's back to Felix's point. What is so grim and horrifying about this commencement speech is the mix of, like I said, the fact that he is using it to shit on the humanities, a stump for global conflict with China because they caused this fucking virus to happen, which is hurting our economy. Because, like, that's the worst thing imaginable in his mind. But it's the contrast of that with the absolute, like, soy quality bants. The absolute soy bants that he's coming up with that are just the easiest, like, little droppings that come out of the BuzzFeed sphincter of, like, Joe Exotic, murder hornets. Yeah, you folks heard about this one?
So he's like really tilting against China in this, but it's like, I've never wanted to be invaded by China more now. Like, I want I want the People's Army storming through the streets, taking down every American, like anything to replace this culture. Like, I've never been more pro invasion. I would be a Vichy American just to get rid of this. Like, this is so fucking dire.
Well, and it's like at least American decadence at points in our history has been something other than banal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, whatever, you had like psycho Rockefellers and people just, you know, Kennedys were just throwing bodies away. Like, it was like, it wasn't this banal, miserable, boring, lowest common denominator thing.
Where your greatest dream, even if you're a senator who wants to be president, what you really want it to be is Jay Leno. Brian Williams really wanted to be Jay Leno. Like, that is the greatest thing. Yeah. You could be a fucking dumbass jokesmith on late night television, because that's what, like, their brains connect to as authority and meaning. That's what they're all seeking to be secretly.
This guy, Ben Sasse's, any of his historical equivalents in the conservative movement, they were like freaks who have been tapped into secret societies since the time they were in high school and like worship Moloch, and they see the owl when they close their eyes. All they do is jack off at Bohemian Grove. They're just constantly working in the furtherment of evil. But the other, like, their entire cultural intake was like reading books written by Roman pedophiles from 4,000 years ago. But this is like, it's the same evil, but just, you know, like, yeah, very BuzzFeed level, very like, yeah, I think Carol Baskins kind of has issues. And it's like more insulting because it shows that like these people are putting way less effort into it than they used to. This cultural moment is so, it makes everything feel so bad because the material conditions are still awful and insulting and dehumanizing. But the culture that is produced at its behest is completely unmemorable. Everything about this the speech is actually sort of genius in the way because it shows how ephemeral everything from this time is. We're not going to remember any of this. Anything from the last 15 years to the present is not going to be memorable at all.
White static.
Like some of the worst culture America or any advanced civilization has ever produced.
And, you know, what's funny about this and just Sast as a character, I remember when we read from his equally atrocious book when Brian Garr, I think, was a guest that episode. I hate this guy. Like he is repellent to me in a way that like few people are because of precisely that mix of truly evil politics with this like folksy dad like exterior or just this veneer of niceness. But what I think is so funny about it is how out of place in our sort of political moment it feels, because Sass's whole thing was that he was the guy who didn't vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And then has, of course, since then, like, you know, crawled back in just like a beat dog. But like, it's passed him by. He's never going to be president. He's never going to have another moment again than the moment that happened right before the presidential election when he held himself out as like the nice guy conservative.
And it turns out nobody had any interest in that at all.
He took a gamble. Like he, you know, it was definitely totally cynical. Like I'm pretty sure of that. I think most of these people don't believe in anything, but they're like, hey, what if I use this moment to distinguish myself? And then, you know, and then teacher, you know, notice me because I'll be the guy that did the precocious thing of breaking with the party and they will admire my individuality. You know, my resourcefulness and my creativity. And it's like, no, you idiot. Like the entire like efficacy of the Republican Party is based on the fact that they actually do have something called party discipline.
Yeah. And also like his attempts to be wacky and personable are just, like I said, it's so sweaty. And
it's very,
you know,
clammy.
Trump, he can land a zinger. He has an effortless quality. He has the timing to like to pull one off, and he can do it off the top of his head too, in a way that's like not obviously scripted. And in fact, most of the time isn't scripted, and that's kind of his genius. But like here's what we were talking about this earlier, about like how there's a moment when like Sass was gonna be like the next big thing, and then since then it's like, the next big thing is gonna be like Tom Cotton or Josh Hawley or those guys. And here's the thing. If you want a vision of who has a future in the Republican Party, it's this and this alone. If their heads were digitally added to the crowd scene from the Independence Day speech that Trump has just superimposed his own head on, if they're in the crowd watching Trump give Bill Pullman's speech from Independence Day, that you got a future.
Yes.
If you're not in that crowd, you're on the outside looking in and you will never get another taste of that
dork.
Cherry. And who is in the crowd cheering Trump to give the Independence Day speech? It was Dinesh D'Souza, Benny Johnson, Dan Bongino, Don Jr., Matty Gaetz, and like who? Do you remember anyone else from that video?
Yeah, just that's who they trust. That's
the absolute.
They like.
Dumbest shitheads imaginable. And crucially, who are all in their public personas, enormous pricks.
Yeah.
Like hugely grating, mean, rude
That's like
assholes.
They're owning the libs by doing that.
Yeah. So Matt, you said it. Don Jr. has way more shot of being the next Republican president than Ben Sass or Tom Cotton or Josh Hawley. Because like for a while I was like, ooh, you know, Cotton and Hawley, like they've seen the turn into this kind of like blood and soil nationalism, and they're going to like give you like the smart version of like authoritarian nationalism that Trump's too lazy and dumb to pull off. But I'm sort of like relieved in knowing the fact that like the huge hurdle for both of those guys is that they're incredibly unappealing dorks.
They're fucking nerds.
Yeah.
The future, you can't be Trump if you're not swaggy. You have to be swaggy.
I'm looking at that like, video right now, and I'm pretty sure Count Donk Carpe Donkdom is on here.
Carpe Donkdom
has a better chance of being president than Ben Sass also.
At least the cabinet position.
I love that guy because he's just like a 60-year-old man who learned rudimentary Photoshop.
Yep.
And the president of the United States is like, you are a genius.
Oh, Hannity's in there?
Yeah, Hannity.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, though, Felix, like, I am always a little bit proud when, like, someone, a senior citizen, learns to text or something, you know?
It's cool. It's cool.
Like, good for you, buddy.
I wish he had better political beliefs, but it's, like, funny that he's doing it. Yeah, but, like, I feel like Howley and Cotton, they're sort of, like, how liberals and lefties would view them, how conservatives would view Elizabeth Warren, where it was like they feared her because of some of her regulatory designs and stuff, but didn't understand that like she didn't even really appeal to voters on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Howley and Cotton, if they tried to run in the primary, it would be a Warren-esque campaign where a lot of conservative media would be like, don't you see how great this is? You love this. You love this. You love this. It's just no one's feeling them.
It's like, sure. Yeah, blood, soil, blah, blah, blah. You look at these fucking dorks.
Yeah. You need like the dumbest man who's ever lived.
You need a Matty Gaetz.
Bitch. Yeah. No, Matty Gaetz is stupid enough to be president. Absolutely. That's the real. That's like why Joe Biden can be president is because he's a moron.
Don Jr.
And
as well.
Know, like, idiot.
And if Matty Gaetz gave one of these sort of Zoom commencement addresses, even though he couldn't see any of the kids, he would make a point to like point out the kid with weird hair or something.
It would
like
just
that.
Be all Entourage quotes. It would be awesome.
It would be like pure nihilistic cruelty. And then like, you know, just a joke about his DUIs and shit. Like, yeah, that's the future.
Yeah, no, he'd have a joke about, like, sorry, he'd have a joke about how, hey, some of you kids are going to college. Take my advice. If you kill your roommate, make sure your dad is a sheriff in Broward County.
You know who's, like, going to be the next Republican president? It's going to be a guy who got elected to the state legislature because he got his driver's license taken away for having too many DUIs and came in there to change that law. And that guy has a better chance than Ben Sasse.
I mean, that guy will have a good chance because Felix, you will be his campaign.
I will. No, yeah. I will be like the bald guy from The West Wing, and he'll be my Bartlett.
All right, let's just hear the last segment. Just one more segment of the commencement speech. We've made it this far. The only way out is through. Roll that
system
fast.
That's visible to the naked eye. Scientists are now going to classify it as a major, major bummer. Why am I giving you all this bad news?
Ooh.
Well, between the pandemic and the murder hornets and the fact that the Tiger King lady definitely killed her husband and the black hole, that shouldn't be between, it should be among. But among all those things, you're stuck at home for graduation, and that's really not even a top 100 problem. But I get it. This isn't the way you wanted today to go down. And, you know, all joking aside, you are graduating in the midst of two crises. We've got a public health crisis, which is real, and many of us know people who've been suffering because of it for the health reasons. And we've got an economic crisis on our hands, and all of us are going to be navigating that. You're entering the world. You're moving from basically the end of childhood to the start of adulthood at a time when the economy has some pretty ugly prognostication coming. It's hit our state hard. It's probably hit your family. It's hit our whole country. And nobody knows exactly how we're going to beat this thing. But you know what? We're Americans, we're Nebraskans, we've got grit, and we're gonna beat this thing. We will bring the economy back. We are gonna beat the virus. We've got 5 different American pharmaceutical companies doing amazing research to develop a vaccine. We're gonna have to have a serious reckoning with the thugs in China who let this mess out of control by lying about it. Your generation, you're gonna have to deal with the consequences of all this, and you're entering adulthood during an incredibly disruptive time. But you know what that means? It means the fact that you're going to need grit and determination and resilience isn't just euphemism. It isn't just rhetoric. It's reality. And here's the good news. You all have the potential to have grit and resilience and determination and to get through this. That's actually what your late night study sessions and your early morning practices gave you. That's what they were about. That's what your parents and teachers tried to instill in you. And that's what makes our state great. And that's what's going to pull us through this thing. You're going to pull us through this thing. You're commencing today. What does commencement mean? It's the end of your high school, but we call it commencement, which means beginning. Why? Because it's the beginning of the set of callings you have from here. You're going to do it. You're going to get it done. We're going to be proud of you again, and we're proud of you today. Your families.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh, yeah. No, at the end, he does say get her done. I don't know if we want to go that far. Is there a part
four? I think I will find a
you
gun.
You know what makes you
show me that.
You know what makes you like tough and gives you grit and gives you resilience? homework.
Yeah. Oh my god. He's like
I thought his whole thing is that like pussy book nerds are weak. Yeah. And
yeah, you
like,
need to be out there working a real job.
No, he wants to have it both ways, Amber. That's the thing. Is that like, you know, I remember in his book we read, he talked about how he made sure to give it like make sure that his daughter spent a summer working on a ranch that was probably owned by some multi-millionaire that he's friends with. And he was like, yeah, because we wanted to teach her grit and determination by working on a ranch. But he's going back on that to be like, yeah, you know, all of those early morning band practices, that shit was that wasn't rehearsal for the, you know, the spring fling. It was rehearsal for entering a economy with 30% unemployment and a plague ravaging the country that our nation's best pharmaceutical countries are certainly working on an answer for. But also we're going to confront the thugs in China.
Yeah, that's the beauty part. Like, it looks bad. And yeah, it looks like you'll never own a home or have health insurance. But don't worry about it. You always have a chance of getting shot down in a troop transport over Manchuria during the Third World War that we're going
to
start.
Nah, but like people have been going to lacrosse practice using that grit. We're going to beat them in a war.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, that's the most, it's like, yeah, no, your life is going to suck specifically because what I and guys like me have done to you in this country for decades. But like, don't worry, you're going to have a sense of purpose by fighting China. No. My kids aren't signing up. It's you.
Right.
You know, have fun, assholes.
Look, I know this maybe might have ruined our day, if not weeks, and I'm going to sit and see that Will for making me watch it. But I think I have something that I'm going to choose to believe to make me feel better, which is that we are the only people that ever watched this.
Yes.
He's speaking to an empty room.
I'm going to use positive mental visualization. I am picturing Ben Sass is, okay, so he gets iced by Rand Paul in a hilarious viral photo that gets 100 retweets where he's given a Bacardi ice and has to kneel. But because he's an old pussy, he tears his MCL in the process. Senator Sass's doctors prescribe him fentanyl. Ben Sass has a fentanyl addiction. And dies after years of excruciating addiction and humiliation. That's the thing I'm envisioning.
He goes out like Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, I want everyone to picture that. Dr. Senator Ben Sass, his addiction to fentanyl that will soon claim him.
President Xi is as guilty as Carol Baskin.
Yeah, dude. Oh. I don't know who has more issues, the Chinese Communist Party or Joe Exotic.
Oh, Courant.
Oh, man. Is this how you want to get Corona? Because this is how we get Corona. Ooh. Oh, are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, what's the problem? You don't like this?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised you guys didn't like the Ben Sass commencement speech more. I'm surprised it didn't inspire you the way it inspired me. I mean,
well,
look,
you wrote just some like, good
I,
shit for it.
I mean,
you
look,
didn't
it's,
deliver it very well.
He didn't deliver it very good, and like this is my first crack at it. Like, you know, don't judge me on this outlet. It's a hard gig to write for. But,
true.
You know, I thought I slipped in some pretty good zingers in there.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
And yeah, a lot of it is performance. The director, they really should have put in a laugh track. I mean, they're not really spinning the gold you gave them, you know, into something useful.
And again, it's just this sort of it's the trying to have it both ways thing that I think is striking here, because like I said, it's the thugs in China's fault. But again, like if for this to have any real purchase, he should have spent the commencement address just telling kids that coronavirus is for pussies and that, like, you know, anyone who's afraid of it is weak and that we need to, like, just get out there and open up the economy again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, that's the problem, is they sort of painted themselves into a corner here because they realized their voter base is both the people who are probably most vulnerable to this disease and the people who don't believe in it.
Yeah,
so and they're kind of stuck.
It's like Matt and I were talking about this as well, because I saw a headline the other day that just said that the Trump administration has said, look, we're going to have a vaccine. Will it work? We don't know, but we'll have it. It might not, but it'll be there. Well, like, we're going to have the vaccine ready. And
cool.
if it's a Trump approved vaccine, and crucially, if people like Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or something say, hey, like I think maybe this vaccine was hastily rushed to market and it becomes the Trump vaccine, then all of his like anti-vax insane, you know, QAnon voters, they will have no problem squaring that circle in their head of signing up, being first in line to get the Trump vaccine. But Matt, you've had a very, like, you had a great idea about this, that if he just didn't call it a vaccine.
Yes, he should call it a potion or an elixir. And if he did that, there would be no problem. No one would get mad, and no, everyone would take it. And you'd get rid of all the problems.
You've got a point.
So there we go. Inspirational words for the graduating class of 2020. Lacrosse practice and homework has prepared you to enter an economy with 30% unemployment and Meemon Pep Pep being, you know, chucked in a ditch by guys in hazmat suits. So thanks for enduring that with me. Like I said, we'll do a little writer's workshop a little bit later when I, you know, I'm working on a few bits right now for, you know, Mitch McConnell and some other people. But
there's,
you know,
someone with better delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad you're getting work, buddy. You know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, it's important in quarantine. You know, I'm using this opportunity to like branch out, try some other venues for my comedy stylings. Well, guys, until next time, let's leave you there.
Bye.
Bye-bye.